Okay, it is already week 9 in the NFL, and the Pittsburgh Steelers continue to drift into unfamiliar territory with a disappointing 2-5 record. It has, to say the least. It has been a tumultuous season so far. It has not been easy for head coach Mike Tomlin and company, and we knew coming into this year that Steeler fans, really, you could not be overly optimistic, because in 2012, they finished 8-8. They lost 5 games by 3 points apiece, and as a result, that really did lead to an offseason of massive transformation and some of the departures of the franchise's most recognizable players. So where are they today? Well, the Steelers, they're 2-5. Of course, they face the Patriots on Sunday, and that is the current state of the Steelers. But in our next interview, we're going to take time to reflect on the glory days of the Steelers of the 1970s and when they won 4 Super Bowls in 6 seasons between 74 and 79. It was a team that was loaded with all-stars and Hall of Famers, Mean Joe Green, Jack Lambert, Tony Dungy, and Terry Bradshaw. Joining us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Quicken Loans Studios, is Gary Pomerantz. He is an author that has just released his brand new book. It is titled The Brotherhood of the 1970s, the Pittsburgh Steelers, Then and Now. It is titled Their Life's Work. Welcome, Gary. It's great to have you at Yahoo Sports Radio.
Thanks so much, Lisa. It's great to be on with you.
Well, before we take time to reflect on the amazing time in Steelers history that really did electrify the sports world for more than a decade, what has been your observation on how the season has unfolded and how the script has played out? As I just mentioned, they're 2-5 right now.
Yeah, they're struggling. And you know, the offensive line is having big problems. They've suffered a few injuries across the board. It just seems like wholesale changes are being made right now. You know, they've got to be worried about the health, the continuing health of Ben Roethlisberger. It's not just the sacks he's taking. He's getting hit so many times. And if he goes down, the ship completely sinks.
Well, you are spot on, Gary, because it is a time of transformation. Obviously, the biggest changes, you're talking about Ben Roethlisberger, but, you know, with the roster in the offseason were the departures of 3 of the franchise's marquee players when you talk about Mike Wallace, Rashard Mendenhall, and James Harrison. But I think, you know, Steeler fans, coming from their point of view and perspective, they were optimistic, and I don't think they could have anticipated going winless in the month of September and right now standing with a record of 2-5.
Yeah, you know, Steelers fans have been spoiled a bit since the 1970s. What the younger fans might not realize is how terrible the Steelers were for 40 years. They were stumbling and bumbling out in the wilderness, and then everything changed in the 70s. And obviously, that's the centerpiece of my book, Their Life's Work. It was interesting to me last week, the Steelers were playing the Raiders. And Mike Tomlin, in midweek before that game, talked to his team about the history of that rivalry, and most of it was centered squarely in the 1970s when you had Joe Green going against, Jim Otto.
Yeah.
It was like the Monitor and the Merrimack in the Civil War, 2 ironclads going at it, 2 Hall of Famers, and it was a fantastic rivalry then, and the Steelers went out, and the speech didn't seem to hit its mark because they came out flat, and they lost again.
Well, we're going to talk about some of those memories and walk down that lane, but you just mentioned Mike Tomlin. It is the 7th season for him. Can you give us a sense? I know you're a West Coast guy, but from the, you know, even the feedback from your book, I mean, can you give us a sense of the fans' frustration level? Do you think they will be willing to be patient and that they have the belief that Coach Tomlin, he is the guy that can turn this around?
Yeah, I mean, I think the people here in Pittsburgh, where I am today, have great confidence in Mike Tomlin. I think they realize this isn't so much a coaching issue as it is a player acquisition issue. You know, the talent isn't there. It's there in places for sure, but it's not as airtight as they'd hoped.
Well, they're wondering, you know, is it too late for them to turn it around? We are visiting with Gary Pomerantz. He is the author of his brand new book, Their Life's Work, The Brotherhood of the 1970s, the Pittsburgh Steelers, Then and Now. And so let's reflect on this, because I find it to be a fascinating read. So many stories in there about how this mom and pop franchise built Steel City into a juggernaut, and it really did captivate all sports fans, but to me, it is more of a book that goes beyond the X's and O's. It really is a compilation of so many different players and a celebration of their contributions.
Well, you know, when I was a young sports writer, 20 years old, way back in 1981, 32 years ago, I was given this dream assignment by my sports editor at the Washington Post. He said, I want you to go to Latrobe to the Steelers training camp and write a story about whether this great empire of the 1970s was finally done. And so I went up there and you know, interviewed Terry Bradshaw and John Stallworth and Lynn Swann and Franco Harris, Chuck Noll. I remember sitting with Mean Joe Green, and it was one of those sweltering August days, and Joe was wearing shorts and a T-shirt. And as he was talking, I remember thinking, this man's bicep is wider than my thigh. And these guys were all great interviews. They were special. They were historic, and they knew it. They moved with swagger. And, you know, it was an arresting array of talent and personality. Even a 20-year-old sports writing intern couldn't miss that. Honestly, that's where the seed for this book was planted. Now, in recent years, certainly very much so right now, the game is under the microscope for its violence, and concussions are front center. And so I started to think, you know, if I'm going to write about the game and take on what it gives to players and what it takes from them, who better than the greatest football team I ever saw? The greatest football team since the Earth's crust cooled, right? Those guys I met back in Latrobe 32 years ago.
Well, share with all of our listeners, who were some of the players that you had an opportunity to go one-on-one with? And I would assume, just as you're talking about, even going back to when you were 20 years old, this had to be such a high for you professionally, because you not only had a chance to spend time with so many of the players, but also you had a chance to meet their families.
Yeah, and, you know, it became a story much about how differently a man looks at his life in his 20s versus his 50s and 60s. That goes for me as well. I was 20 then. I'm 52 now. And, you know, for these Steelers, Joe Green and Lambert and Jack Hamm, you know, John Stallworth and Terry Bradshaw, these guys are now in their 60s. And back in their 20s, they were like most 20-somethings. They were bulletproof. They were invincible. They knew their life was eternal. And you know, they looked at 50 and 60 through a telescope like it's a faraway planet. It's their father's world. But now that those Steelers are in their 60s, they see life and their place in their worlds a little differently, with much more wisdom and experience and context. They realize life isn't forever, and they really cherish those special friendships, you know, that they have with their former teammates. It's true that many of these guys have titanium knees, hips, and shoulders, replacements from their days as players, that some of them walk like crabs. But to a man, and I spoke to and interviewed two dozen of them from 74 to 80 as Steelers in those years of empire, to a man, they all say they would do it again and that it was worth it. As Randy Grossman, the tight end, said, he said, you know, this was our gift. This is what made us special. This is what separated us from the faceless crowd. And so I think they all, you know, we all make compromises in our life. The 60-hour-a-week businessman doesn't see his kids enough, and the minister and social worker, you know, follow their calling, and they don't make as much money as they could. And these guys were the gladiators. And now they live with it. You know, they walked into the arena, into that brilliant light on Sundays, heard the roar of the crowd, and they started slamming heads, and they live with it.
You're listening to the voice of Gary Pomerantz at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. We are talking about his brand new book, Their Life's Work, The Brotherhood of the 1970s, The Pittsburgh Steelers, Then and Now. It really is a book, a hybrid of history and journalism, because you conducted over more than 200 interviews. I know you have special gratitude to the Rooneys, their family, because they really did provide some wonderful insight about this remarkable time in Steelers history.
Yeah, you know, the old man, the founder, Art Rooney Sr., was known as the Chief. He bought this franchise during the Depression for $2,500.
Wow.
Today, it's been valued at anywhere from $1 billion to $1.2 billion. So it was a pretty good investment. He was a horse player. You know, he gambled on the horses, and truly, he was one of the finest horse players in the country. In fact, back in 1933, he was, you know, spending more money, or I should say, betting more money on certain races than he spent for this franchise. His team was not very good. In fact, it was terrible for 4 decades. 40 years, the Steelers hadn't won a playoff game. And over time, in the 60s and by the early 70s, the Chief had turned over the team to his son, Dan, who professionalized it. You know, the Chief, he had all his notes. He kept his office in his coat pocket, rubber banded together. And Dan made it a modern franchise, and he's become like Gibraltar in the NFL. he's a little guy, but he casts big shadows because he's been a part of virtually everything in the NFL over the last 50 years.
What did you share about as far as how complicated their personal relationship was between Art and Dan?
Yeah, you know, as much as the Chief is loved, he was kind of a tough love father. And he had five sons, and he was very tough on them, all the way back to when he was hitting really hard, rocketed ground balls at them and ricocheting off their shins when they were in the backyard. But, you know, Dan was running the team, and his brother Art ran the scouting department. And in 1974, he pulled off a draft day miracle by drafting four Hall of Famers in the first five rounds. Wow. And the Steelers are picking 21st in order that year. It was a remarkable achievement.
Having a wonderful conversation with Gary Pomerantz, talking about the state of the Pittsburgh Steelers and his new book that has just been released, Their Life's Work, The Brotherhood of the 1970 Pittsburgh Steelers, Then and Now. We're going to step aside as we're up against the clock, and we'll be right back with much more as we continue our conversation with Gary Pomerantz.